Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast, or I should say Quadcast.
Quadcast.
Arizona football, just hiring Kevin Sumlin as its next head football coach. I'm Justin Spears here with Ryan Finley, Michael Lev, and Dominic Bachaco. We were all here at the press conference at Lowell Stevens football facility, and what a buzz it was at the Arizona Stadium. Kevin Sumlin announced as the Arizona head football coach. A lot of alum were there. Current players were there, and it just seemed like a lot of excitement. Ryan, you weren't at the last new football coaches press right? conference because you were having a job.
I was holding a 4-hour-old baby at the time, sitting in the hospital, standing there, holding my kid for like the second time ever, and watching the press conference on TV. And I got name dropped by Rich Rod, which was kind of fun. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Anyway, I was there today. I came away very impressed with Kevin Sumlin. I thought he came off as genuine. I'm not sure he said a whole lot. I mean, he at some point today goes, look, all these press conferences are exactly the same. Everybody says the same stuff, so let's get it over with, kind of. But there's something to him that's different, I think, and it's good. I don't know if that's necessarily a confidence or a swagger. I don't want to use the word swagger.
Swagcopter.
It's
appropriate.
He has a bearing to him, I thought. There is a bearing and a leader of men-ness to him. I mean, Rich Rod had it too, I think. But you're not going to get that. I mean, I'm not sure Mike Sanford would have shown up today and had that same bearing. Kevin Sumlin comes off as important. And that's a big thing for Arizona, I think. Again, when you're leading 118 to 22 year old guys. Most of them are underclassmen. I think you need to be a leader. And his leadership skills, I thought, were on display today. Pretty good interview, I thought. Said some interesting stuff. Michael Lev, I mean, he's going to be your guy going forward. You'll probably ask him 15 questions a day for the next God knows how many years. What did you make of him?
Did you notice I didn't ask any questions during the press conference?
Yeah.
For that very reason, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do the heavy lifting later on, so I'll just let everybody else do the work. Mm-hmm. You know, going back to even the announcement of Kevin Sumlin, wasn't the wording something like, this is who we've selected to lead our football program? I mean, yes. I feel like that was intentional.
Program. It's pronounced program.
Yes. Dr. Robbins, we learned today, says it. Football program.
It's great.
Not program. He's from Mississippi, we also learned. So he's from SEC country. He's been in Texas. He knows what a real football program looks like.
Anyway, we couldn't portray it in a tweet, so I'm glad we're finally getting to say it now.
Right. So I feel like there's been a lot of emphasis since this all started on a leader of men, turning young men into grown men, someone who's going to be involved in the community. Who's going to be active on campus, who's going to help create an exciting atmosphere at the stadium. I mean, there wasn't a lot of talk today about, Kevin Sumlin runs a very exciting offensive system. He runs the spread.
Good point.
We're going to be aggressive on offense and defense. Really very little talk about X's and O's. It was much more about the other stuff, the character stuff, okay? And by saying what they said about Rich Rodriguez, about Kevin Sumlin, they were sort of implying stuff about his predecessor, Rich Rodriguez, without saying the name Rich Rodriguez.
Right. We sat down with Kevin Sumlin, Justin, for what? For 10 minutes, maybe?
11 minutes.
Yeah. 11 minutes, seconds. Thank you. Yeah. 11 minutes and 30 seconds. The four of us plus Greg Hansen. What a crew we must have been. And he mentioned in there getting the students on board.
Yes.
Dom and Justin was not that long ago that you guys were students. What?
Like last week.
Like last week.
You graduated 2017.
Is that important? Does that matter?
Yes.
Did you ever see Rich Rod?
No. I mean, as from a student standpoint, no. Once I got into journalism, yes, more so, obviously. But no, and I think another thing, I mean, you guys talk about, you know, what Sumlin, that kind of character that he brings that Rich Rod you didn't really have as much of, or some of the other candidates. I mean, that's something that sticks out big time. Even when Niumatalolo appeared to be the leading candidate a few days ago, he wasn't receiving the same buzz that Kevin Sumlin is. And I think it's just, I don't know if it's the way Sumlin carries himself or if it's what he says, but he has that vibe around him that everyone's kind of excited. Yeah. I mean, students are on board, the Tucson community is on board, everyone's kind of in to Arizona football right now.
And I mean, just like the players, I saw a lot of students who I follow on Twitter tweet about how much they did not want Ken Niumatalolo. So would they have bought in regardless if Ken Niumatalolo came? No, because they would have been like, okay, well, this is going to be another Rich Rod type of year where there's still going to be a 6-6, 7-5 year. Kevin Sumlin brings the swagger. He brings excitement. You know, growing up in Tucson, even when Mike Stoops was the head coach, he still brought fans to games. Ryan,
a lot of visors were sold when Mike Stoops was here. People identified with him because he was a blue-collar guy, defensive-minded guy, wore his heart on his sleeve. And why Mike Stoops is like that, he wears his heart on his sleeve, and when Rich Rod does the same thing, he's a jerk, I do not know. Maybe times have changed.
Yeah.
But you're right. There was that everybody liked Mike Stoops, especially at first.
Mm. Especially students.
Right, I'm not sure Rich Rod ever got the benefit of that doubt from U of A football fans. Mm.
And when Mike Stoops was also kind of winning, I remember specifically I saw a sign in the Zona Zoo that said Stoops over Hoops. I don't think Kevin Sumlin's going to bring that vibe over. Maybe depending the FBI investigation, we'll see. But I'm just saying Kevin Sumlin brings a good vibe. Michael, what do you
think? Yeah, I think that maybe the word you were searching for earlier, Ryan, was charisma.
Thank you.
Charisma is a great word.
Charisma.
Ding, ding, ding.
You work with words. Yes.
Yeah. So for the record, you know, and we'll talk about this one more time and probably never again, but I feel like Ken Niumatalolo was treated unfairly by the current players.
Agree.
The fans. Yes. I don't think they gave him a fair chance just because there was a fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. The unknown being this, oh my God, the triple option offense, like the worst thing that anyone could ever possibly do, which I don't even think he would have done in full. I think it would have been kind of a version of that. Mm-hmm. He would have catered it to his players, including Khalil Tate. I think that he would have been immensely popular once everybody got to know him, but they didn't really give him that chance. And I think that might have contributed to him getting cold feet about this whole situation. Now, Dave Hickey said very specifically today, which is exactly what we expected him to say, that Kevin Sumlin was the only coach that they offered. It was the first offer they gave out. That's kind of PR 101.
Sure.
We reported that Ken did have an offer. It just sort of depends on what is your definition of offer. Does that mean an actual piece of paper for him to sign, or does that mean a verbal agreement of sorts, like, hey, the job is yours, why don't you take the night to sleep on it, whatever the case might be. I didn't really like how Ken Niumatalolo was treated through social media or what have you. I didn't think it was right. I think if anyone watched any of those videos on Showtime that they would have thought differently about him. But that's all water under the bridge now because he's not coming here. Kevin Sumlin is, and everybody seems very excited about it.
Kevin Sumlin, I will argue this, is as recognizable a human being as has ever been hired to coach at the University of Arizona.
Well, that's what's big about it. Like, no one, I don't want to say no one knew Ken Niumatalolo, but
nobody knew him.
Yeah, it's nobody. Sure. So nobody knew Ken Niumatalolo. I mean, Kevin Sumlin, he comes from the SEC, comes from A&M. He has recruiting stature. He has a history of success and winning. So he's the name that everyone's going to get excited about.
Right. And he's one of the rare guys. Michael, back me up on this. He has been fired, but he doesn't have the stink on him. Does that make sense?
Ken?
Kevin.
Ken's been employed for
Kevin, that's
why I was confused.
Kevin Sumlin was fired, but he doesn't have the stink on him of a guy who's been fired. And somebody like Rich Rodriguez came to Arizona to rehab an image that had been left for dead in Michigan. He had a little bit of the desperation stink on him. I think Sumlin...
Stank. The desperation stank.
But it's right. Like, even in, I did my best to, in just trying to be fair, read criticisms of Kevin Sumlin. And the criticism was like, he won 8 games a year and we want to win 10. And that was it. I know that he clashed a little bit with some of his players. He kicked a couple quarterbacks off the team. But you know what? I think that happens most places. He comes off as a good guy in the media and in the public. I haven't read a whole lot about him being anywhere near what Rich Rodriguez was publicly in terms of antagonistic or unfriendly.
Perception is reality, okay? Right. If you actually look at Rich Rodriguez's record at Michigan, they got better every season.
Sure they did.
It was viewed as a complete disaster.
And the year after he left, they played in the Sugar Bowl. Right. Yes.
And if you look at Kevin Sumlin's record at A&M, they actually got worse. Mm-hmm. They started out, I think, 11-2, then 9-4, then they just kind of leveled off. It was like 8-5, 8-5, 8-5, 7-5. But as you say, he doesn't have that stink on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was viewed as, you know, expectations were unrealistic at A&M, or it was something new for them to go into the SEC. They were playing mm-hmm. in the toughest division in all of college football. He did well. He just didn't do well enough to satisfy that school, those boosters, the amount of money that they were throwing at the mm-hmm. problem. I think he's in a much better situation here at Arizona. Expectations are pretty high for next season mm-hmm. with Khalil Tate, young defense, all of those things. But let's face it, right? This is a basketball school, first and foremost. They'd like to turn it into a basketball/football school.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, no one's going into next season expecting Arizona to win the Pac-12. There's a chance that it could happen.
Yeah.
But no one's going in expecting that to happen and would be disappointed if they won 8 or 9
games. Well, this is the thing. I mean, Arizona fans want success now. They want 10 wins now. If Kevin Sumlin goes 8-4 and makes a bowl game for the next 5 years, that's as good a success as I think you're going to find Arizona football.
We said this about Rich Rodriguez. If he won 8 games a year, they'd build a statue.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. The appeal of this job, I think, to Sumlin is the same as the appeal to Rich Rodriguez when he took over. I think this is a place where he can go and be himself a little bit more without being compared to everybody. Rich Rodriguez's case, remember, he was talked to for using ain't in a press conference when he was at Michigan. He was told that this is Michigan, we don't use contractions, right?
Wow.
Kevin Sumlin, and this has been well documented.
Where's the rap horn on me?
Kevin Sumlin, when he was at Texas A&M, and this was well documented, received death threats.
For losing games?
No.
Well, partly for that. Well,
partly.
African-American. He was, I believe, a mixed-race marriage.
Yep.
There are corners of Texas, just like there are corners of all states, where that is not where people find that, whatever. He got death threats for it unfairly. I'm not sure that there's that social stigma here in Arizona. I think In Tucson, I think Kevin Sumlin will be allowed to be his own man here. I don't think anybody's going to compare him to everybody else. There's no shadow for him to step into here.
Let's remember, too, okay, that this was a lot about, and we'll go back to that initial release after Richard was fired, the direction and climate of the football program, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
It's that character stuff that we talked about before, beyond the winning aspect. It's how do you represent yourself? I mean, Dr. Robbins today, during this news conference, referenced sideline behavior, press conferences. He said he followed someone's career very closely. You know, remember Dr. Robbins came here from Texas, mm-hmm. said he'd seen him speak at various events, said no matter what the circumstances were, always carried himself in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I think that was important to both Dr. Robbins and Dave Hickey.
Mm-hmm. I wondered, though, allow me to be a skeptic for a minute.
Sure.
The press release where they said that this guy is going to bring character and dignity back to the football program, was that written before they knew who the person was? Well, I mean, was this going to be their
possibly?
Was this going to be their angle, regardless of who they hired? I mean, obviously, there's. I think we know more about Ken Niumatalolo's sort of off the field stuff because he was the subject of a Showtime thing. There's a romanticism to Navy. Frankly, he coaches kids who have to apply to the academy.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of stories are easy to tell. With Kevin Sumlin, I'm really curious to see sort of in action what he does differently from Rich Rodriguez behind closed doors.
Mm. And also another thing that I'm buying into Kevin Sumlin right now simply because of he's got Marcel Yates. He's keeping him as the defensive coordinator. He's got B.J. Danker, who was a Rich Rod quarterback but he also went to coach with Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M for a brief stint. He's got guys around him that could get the players to buy in, and also, I mean, they could really hit the ground running and get players to really show the character that they need to do off the field.
Well, you talk about, Ryan, you mentioned, you know, how he's going to be behind closed doors. He's talked a lot just in the last couple of days since being hired about community engagement and getting the team out. You know, I can't remember exactly what he said today. It's not just a football program to him. I mean, it's really about getting out in Tucson, getting out and being a part of the campus, mm-hmm. which I think is something that Rich Rod never really did. It's a good way to put butts in seats, and it's a good way to get people to buy into Arizona football because he's going to be out in the public, and his face is going
to
be front and center.
And to kind of go off that, before the Foster Farmers Bowl, mm-hmm. on Christmas Day, you saw the football team out there serving meals, handing them to people. Mm-hmm. Where was that during the regular season? Right. Why did it all of a sudden have to happen during the bowl game?
They did do hospital visits.
Right. It's a weekly thing. It's a weekly thing.
Home games.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was more about the coach. I don't think it was about the players. Mm-hmm. And here's the beauty of it, okay? 3 years from now, if he's not doing that stuff, we can call them out on it.
Right.
Because that's kind of our job here. Arizona Daily Star, right?
Exposing people.
We're holding people accountable. Right?
Right.
So.
And how about this? Like, at the end of the day, they're not paying a ton of money here. Right?
They aren't.
To me, the most impressive thing, and I think that we could now try to piece together what really happened in the last 72 hours mm-hmm. based on what the end number was, right? Kevin Sumlin's going to make $2 million this year and next year. He's going to make $3.5 million in the 3 years following that. There's a mitigation clause that we're writing about in tomorrow's paper, basically saying that if he is fired, he must attempt to seek employment in football, and when he does, basically it limits what Arizona then has to pay him. To me, to not only get a guy for much less than you were paying Rich Rodriguez. Let's start there.
Much less.
And to give yourself an out and some cover, if you have to fire a third football coach in 7 years or 8 years, I think that's huge for the U of A. I think that the Todd Graham Rich Rodriguez experiment has taught the Board of Regents, who at the end of the day, by the way, basically have the hammer here, right? They can wreck everything if they want to. Those two buyouts totaling $17 million, I think have the Board of Regents now keenly aware that sports contracts are out of control and that they must build in some safeguards. So we will see more about what is fired for cause. We will see more of these mitigation clauses. I asked Dave Hickey today when we were talking about the mitigation stuff. I said, is this the new standard here? And he looked at me, yeah, okay. So it's the new standard here. Go ahead.
Yeah, Michael, two things about the contract.
Mm-hmm.
One, he signed a 5-year, $14.5 million contract, but it's really more like a 5-year, $24.78 million contract because he's making, what, 10.28?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what the figure 10. Is? 10.2. 10.2 from A&M.
No, I'm sorry, 10.4.
So it's like about a $25 million deal, really, if you count that A&M
mm-hmm.
check that he's receiving. So, you know, everyone at Arizona should probably thank the good folks at Texas A&M for their judgment.
Thank Greg Burns' father for giving him that contract.
The second thing is, if they go out and do have a great season next year and go like 11-2 or something outrageous mm-hmm. like that, he's probably going to renegotiate
yep.
his contract and get a bigger deal.
Right.
But for the time being, I think it's a great bargain in the current climate of college football with all the crazy money that's being handed out. This, you know, it's easy for us to say, but it's a pretty reasonable amount of money for a high-profile coach like that.
To me, where they got in trouble with Rich Rodriguez wasn't his initial deal, which was almost the same terms that Kevin Sumlin signed for. It's not the initial deal. It was, at the first sign of success, I think at Rich Rodriguez's urging, they tore up his deal and rewrote a new one. And then there was an automatic rollover, basically, every year after that. To me, if we're trying to be fiscally responsible, and if the U of A is trying to climb out of a financial hole, and you guys know this, they are screwed financially in terms of the debt service that they owe and everything else. To me, they must resist the temptation to tear up the contract if they go 7-5, right? Or to tack two more years onto the end of it if he has one good year. I think what you need to do is say, you know, yes, if you go 10-2, or if you have another offer from somebody, we will absolutely renegotiate. But the mitigation clause must stay in there, and it must be a market value contract. And I think U of A, I think the Board of Regents will hold them to that going forward, simply because they can't afford to write more big checks to guys who they want to fire.
You know what else happened today? Jamari Joyner, the quarterback from Cienega, decided to shut down his recruitment.
Shut down.
And commit 110% to Arizona, which is kind of like having someone's first recruiting victory in a way. I had heard that Jamari wasn't going anywhere anyway.
Right.
But this makes it official, pretty much, right? And they needed to get him in there because the depth of quarterback could take a big hit if Brandon Dawkins decides to transfer, which is still possible. Rhett Rodriguez, man, it's going to be hard for him to stay. I'm given that, you know, directly or indirectly, everyone's kind of trashing his dad. And, you know, you never know. The family might move to another part of the country once the kids have completed this upcoming semester of football. So getting Jamari in there, I think, is a very big deal. And there was a lot of talk today about recruiting, which, I mean, to me, when you look at the two resumes on paper coming to Arizona, you look at Kevin Sumlin and Rich Rodriguez, biggest difference I see is that Kevin Sumlin is a much better recruiter. And I talked to someone who's worked with him before, who said he's very involved, like in an unusual level for a head coach when it comes to recruiting. He already has a good track record in recruiting Phoenix, which is obviously a big deal for here.
Oh, Arizona's going to begin recruiting Phoenix now? That's probably good. Texas and Hawaii, could that be next, or am I dreaming?
Well, they mentioned California, Texas,
Vegas,
and Arizona, which, you know, but, you know, Texas, of course. He was at A&M. He was at Houston. You think they're going to get guys from there. The recruiting, the reporters who cover recruiting that I talk to on a regular basis, they think he's going to do really well.
Yeah, you don't have to be a great recruiter to do better than Rich Rod did in states like Texas or up in Phoenix. I mean, you look at Rich Rod, he had four recruits in his entire time here from Texas. And Kevin Sumlin,
two of them were walk-ons.
Yeah, and Kevin Sumlin came in and pulled 2 5-stars out of Phoenix in his time at A&M. So he's, immensely a better recruiter.
When I talked to Jamari, the whole coaching search went down, obviously the rumors of him getting interest from Alabama. I called him. UCF. He said, and UCF. I called him. He said, yeah, I set up visits to go to Alabama and Tosh. He pretty much said that.
He's a good recruit.
He pretty much said that, yeah, Tosh is going to offer me when I go to Bama. And one of the first questions I asked him, well, since you're committed to Arizona now, who do you want as their next head coach? And without hesitation, he said Kevin Sumlin. And from that, as soon as Kevin Sumlin was announced head coach here at Arizona, I knew right away, I was like, Jamari Joyner's not going anywhere, because if he goes to Alabama, he's probably not going to play till what, his senior year, because you still got Tua Tagovailoa from who
was a freshman,
literally just put Bama on their back and carried them to a national championship.
Michael Love
Tagovailoa. So
that was impressive.
Covered USC.
He was not committed to USC, but they were co-favorites.
Yeah,
maybe the favorites. But anyway, the other thing I heard yesterday about Kevin Sumlin is players' coach. Takes care of his players. Will do whatever he can within the rules in terms of meals or uniforms or whatever to
bowling night, movie night,
yeah, whatever to take care of his players. So when you heard all these guys saying like, "Oh, I want Kevin Sumlin to be the coach," and there's a reason for that, you know?
Yeah.
The photoshopped image that Khalil Tate posted on his Twitter account of Kevin Sumlin patting him on the head, I thought that was like really symbolic and significant.
I feel like he's had that ready for like months.
What that gesture was.
If he had one ready for 10.
This guy's going to be on my side. You know, this guy's going to help me to become the best quarterback I can be. Rich Rod had his own way of doing that, which was old school type of coaching. I mean, there was a lot of yelling. There was a lot of cursing. There was tough love, as it were. I've never observed a Kevin Sumlin practice. I don't know how that's going to go. Exactly, but I do get the feeling that he is going to be more of a player's coach than his predecessor.
Right. Rich Rod's old saying was, we're going to push you harder than you've ever been pushed, but we're going to love you more than you've ever been loved, or something like that. I'm not sure that first part is necessarily what Kevin Sumlin's going to do. I think you're right. He comes in. What these players need now, and Sumlin said this to us in our little session with him today. What did he say? Youth is fragility.
Oh, yeah. Young usually means fragile. Fragile.
Young usually means fragile. And when you look at the roster he inherits, there's a lot of fragile dudes, mm-hmm. right? I mean, mm-hmm. more than half the roster, obviously, is underclassmen. A large percentage of freshmen or sophomores. To me, job one for him is going to be inspire some confidence and settle down the guys who are already on the team, starting with Khalil Tate, which sounds like he's done. Number two is going to be lock up that recruiting class. Number three is going to be get a coaching staff that accurately reflects the challenges Arizona faces in the Pac-12. To me, that means you need somebody who's going to recruit the islands. I'm not going to stop beating that mm-hmm. proverbial drum. Mm-hmm. You need somebody who has connections west of the state of Texas. In Marcel Yates, you get that. He's a guy from L.A. I think that you need somebody who's going to actually care about special teams. Rich Rodriguez hired special teams coaches, but then overruled them left and right. You need somebody like a John Baxter, for instance, who could come in and turn Arizona into a good special teams team, like Utah. Yeah. You know?
Remember, he's Kevin Sumlin stepping into a situation where they can have 10 assistant coaches now right. instead of 9, mm-hmm. which makes it a lot easier to have a full-time special teams coach than it was before.
Right. Something that really stuck out to me, and somebody asked Kevin Sumlin this, have you talked to Rich Rodriguez? And he said, I have not, but I will at some point. Mm-hmm. The one coach that I have talked to, he said he was familiar with Mike Stoops just from his days at Oklahoma.
Spent a year
but
together.
But he said, I talked to Dick Tomey. And when you say recruiting the Polynesian Islands, well, that's something that Dick Tomey brought over to Arizona. Mm-hmm. He really wanted to embrace Arizona as a Power 5 powerhouse football program. Mm-hmm. He talked to Dick Tomey. He really got that going forward. I think it's going to be huge.
And don't think that just because a Dick Tomey disciple and Kenny Malolo isn't coming here to coach, don't think that doesn't mean that Tomey's not going to be around the program, or guys like Ricky Hundley and all these other Wildcats that mm-hmm. have kind of came swarming by the flock to
swarm.
Completely unintentional. You saw a lot of ex-Wildcat support in the last couple of weeks of his coaching search, and I don't think that's going to go away. I mean, even if it's Kevin Sumlin or whether it was Kenny Montalolo or whoever was here, I think they all want to be involved moving forward, which is going to always help Kevin.
Right. It's simple-minded to think that you need a Polynesian coach to recruit a Polynesian uh-huh. player. I think it helps. But I think, you know, there's no reason to think that they won't recruit the hell out of Hawaii and American Samoa and Oceanside, California and Irvine, California, where they have large clusters of Polynesian players. I think they're going to try to do that more, regardless of who is on their staff, mm-hmm. than Rich Rodriguez did. I'm not sure Rich cared a whole lot about that element of it. Even though I think it's very important for Arizona, both identity-wise and recruiting-wise. I mean, there are only so many 300-pound human beings walking the planet. Arizona's got to find, like, two of them to put at defensive tackle.
Every year.
Every year.
Yeah.
And they have not been able to find that yet. Justin Belknap, a guy who looks like me, I think played a little, what, nose?
No, defensive end.
Defensive
end. I think of Parker Zellers.
Parker Zellers, guy who looks like me.
Yeah, 6'1", 250.
Yeah, okay.
If that.
I'm taller than that.
Yeah.
6'1", 250, Ryan Finley.
At least that stopped this past year. I felt like in 2016, it was every single game they put up that graphic of how small Arizona's defensive line was compared to all the other defensive lines or the offensive lines that they face. You know, they're bringing in some big dudes. Of course, every time they would bring in a big dude, Rich Rod would say how out of shape they were and that they couldn't play until they got into shape. So it was sort of a catch-22 that way. But I think just overall, like, the recruiting is going to be at a different level, and that's so important. You can't win without players.
Mm-hmm. It's not about X's and O's.
Right? What is it about?
It's about Jimmies and Joes.
Yeah,
Jimmies and Joes. What is that?
That's footballism number two. That's a Rick
Newhouse. It's the players.
Yeah, players.
It's not about the scheme, it's about the players.
Okay.
Jimmies Justin, and Joes. So young.
Someone did say that a couple times today. You win with players.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. And people.
And PAU.
You know, of course. How else would you win?
I win with robots.
Yeah. they do have those tackling dummy robots, which are kind of cool. Have you guys seen those?
Yeah.
You know, right. They're programmable and you can make them move around. And
like
stuff.
Remote control cars, kind of?
Kind of, yeah, but they're tackling dummies and you can have them run patterns, you can tackle them.
2018.
2018.
Yeah, technology. Yeah, here we are. Things have changed since you played football 5 years ago, Justin.
Yeah, we just had the sled and the chute that was made out of metal that if you weren't low enough every time you got out of your stance, you were going to get hit right in the helmet with that and get marked up.
Not a huge problem for the – what were you listed at?
I was listed at 5'11". But I'm 5'8 on a good day. So.
How'd you pull a 5'11"?
Because we were stretching, and the manager went around asking for height, so I'd say 5'11".
Do I hear the swag copter coming to pick us up, by the way?
It is.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get on the swag copter. Perfect. All right. For Ryan, Michael, Dominic, I'm Justin. Thank you for listening to the Wildcast Quadcast. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and download the free Wildcaster app.